بعده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا والعياذ بالله. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. حيا الله هذه الوجوه الطيبة والنيرة بنور الإيمان بالله عز وجل وبنور طاعته، وأسأله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك لنا في جمعنا هذا أجمعين، وأن يهب المسيئين منا للمحسنين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم ارزقنا علما نافعا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم تقبل منا طاعتنا، واجعلها في سجل حسناتنا يوم الدين، يوم لا ينفع مال ولا بنون إلا من أتى الله بقلب سليم. اللهم آمين. جزاكم الله خيرا for coming, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept and reward us with the effort and the blessed efforts and all the time to guide us to the best. And welcome to the sessions and the series of Usul al-Fiqh wa Usul al-Hadith. This is our second meeting today. Last time we met and we distributed the manuscript about brief basic foundations of Usul al-Hadith, or we say Mustalah al-Hadith, and to give us some ideas about what we are going to cover. And this will be our curriculum to say in our halaqa for the next maybe 3 months to say. And then we'll have Usul al-Fiqh inshallah. And today will be this is my gift last week to you. And today I have another gift for you that will be very important to be aware of these terms. I made only 50 copies that I, as a sheikh, can afford. Forgive me. But this is my gift to you inshallah, for me that to we work it out today, this morning we finish it, and I hope that really will benefit a lot from it. This says about introduction to some terminologies in the Islamic law concerning the hadith and the fiqh, also in the sciences of these two. So will be distributed to you inshallah. I hope that, let's start, yes, inshallah, to distribute to them, because we'll go over it too inshallah. So we have these two manuscripts now about Mustalah al-Hadith and these terminologies, definitions. That is very important that to keep it with you inshallah every Tuesday to come here. I hope that you bring a folder like this, just to show you, like this. Whether the administration take care of it, I'm willing to take care of it. If you tell me that will come, how many copies we get, I will get to the box, it will be 100, not big deal really. But it will be good to organize our paper, because I'm going to give you many papers from time to time, not every time. Maybe for the next 2 times we'll not have anything yet, but after that maybe something will be given. So we can keep it in the folder and label it here. Put a label in your own folder, file cabinet. This is for the brothers and the sisters, inshallah. That to benefit from it, whenever you need it, we take it out and you read whatever we want to go over, inshallah, here in the halaqah. Our main objection here and our goal to achieve from our objects and goal to achieve from this halaqa is to be aware of few things. One, the fact is, it's not only just to say an Abi Hurairah radiallahu an, qala qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the text of the hadith, and then rawahu al-Bukhari or akhrajahu al-Bukhari or Muslim or muttafaqun alayhi. It's not just only like that. This is the books available in the market, in the books, in the library, any place. But we're going to get, inshallah, the sense of the foundations of this knowledge. Because it is unbelievable, we said last time, we'll repeat the same with this point, that very common among the high educated, many of the high educated, so-called high educated, with my respect to everybody, in our society, in our communities, Muslim communities, that to say, oh, what is, we don't know what sunnah, Quran no sunnah. We don't know how the hadith is sahih or not sahih, except we don't know. We said, if you don't know, does not mean we should reject the sunnah. But because lack of knowledge of these basics we're talking about here tonight and every Tuesday together, inshallah, share it together. These are basics. If you know these basics, then you are absolutely, you come to the conclusion that no way to doubt what the Prophet said. Because now, living in 2009, 1430 after Hijrah, that the recording, the preservations of the religion of Islam is protected and preserved, the Quran as well as the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. But those who are raising the banners of Quran no Sunnah, this is kufr, no doubt. But we have to educate them before we say anything after beyond that. But I'm very concerned about such a person, he or she, that to say Quran no Sunnah, because you are rejecting what is, as we say in Arabic, شيء معلوم بالضرورة في هذا الدين. يعني this is one of the pillars of Islam that to believe in, that Quran and Sunnah. And we'll come to that inshallah, we'll say in our some of the things we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran and His Rasul Kareem alayhi salatu salam to take the people out from the darkness of ignorance about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the light من الظلمات إلى النور نور الحق سبحانه وتعالى نور معرفة الله سبحانه وتعالى to know Allah سبحانه وتعالى to know the Quran of the book or the words of Allah سبحانه وتعالى that he revealed upon his beloved prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام also that the Quran to be موعظة to be admonishment to be تبيان to clarify many misconceptions and to remove the many misunderstandings also شفاء لما في الصدور also that to purify the soul and the hearts and even the Quran being used as a treatment for physical treatment to give shifa bi-idhnillahi ta'ala also it is a hukum a ruling the Quran is not only for the dead people whenever we have janaza we see people that make khatm al-Quran and they put it back on the beautiful cover and hang it on the wall whenever we have a new house khatm al-Quran when we have new business, khatm al-Quran, they put on the shelf. Quran is to live it after understanding and after reading it and after comprehend what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us to do or not to do. So it is for the living people, not for the dead people. It was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam to be guidance in the life of the Sahaba. So the Prophet alayhi salam will explain it to them, practice it with them and live it in the society. Whether you live in America, or you live in Pakistan, or you live in Lebanon, or you live in Palestine, or you live in Saudi Arabia, wherever you are living, as Muslim, walhamdulillah rabbil alameen, submitting ourselves to the la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, this is our law. This is our law. And I wish that really, that we make an assignment for ourselves that to read every day, at least 5 ayat, if not 1 page. To make it a habit. Not only to wait for Ramadan to pray behind the Imam to lead the Raweeh and to listen to whole Khatm al-Quran, all of it. During the year, what you are doing? 5 ayat every day. 1 ayah, page, it's up to you. But don't, you know, miss it. And believe me, today, you know, for example, I told the story that happened before and this repeated again today. That lady, she's a Christian and she was getting the lunch. And she brought that today's small Bible, Psalms of David. And this is the New Testament. She said, today I have a New Testament only. I said, you rejected the Old Testament now? Not anymore than Old Testament? No, no, I'm just reading this one only. I said, subhanAllah. So you make it every day habit that to read the Bible in the job, in the office, lunch hour. She's eating and reading. I said, I wish that the Muslim will do this, have the priority. Well, we have da'watul haqq subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have the book of haqq. We have the rabb of haqq. We have the rasul of haqq. And subhanallah, as you know, it was mentioned in Surah Al-Furqan, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. My people, they ignore the Quran and they did not pay attention to the Quran or read to the Quran. Subhanallah. It's very, very important that to make the Quran living in our life as much as we can. But to put in your mind, well, you are alhamdulillah committed to the masjid. But it's not enough that only keep going by reading the Quran. Even 1 ayah. Read it, understand it, and get something from it. Whatever you can afford, the time that can allow you. Also that the Quran to be bushra lil mu'mineen. Good news, glad tidings to you, that to tell you if you listen and you read and get the blessing of reading and recitation and following it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised you Jannah. And then you read, that's what the Prophet alayhi sallam, whenever he read Quran and he passed by Ayatul Jannah wa Na'imul Jannah, he used to stop and say, Ya Rabbul Jannah wa Na'imul Jannah. And he Rasul alayhi sallatu wasalam. He's Rasul. And he was promised Jannah. Can you imagine that if somebody promised you Jannah now, you say, I'm relaxed, I'm done, I don't have to do anything anymore. Khalas, I'm relaxing. No, even he was promised Jannah, alayhi sallam, to teach us as a role model to us to follow that, to keep going and reading the Quran. Even himself was promised the Quran, the Jannah. Also that, tahdhir wa nadhir lil kafirin. So it is good news to bring to those who follow and believe in and commit and submit themselves to it, and a warner to those who are rejecting and disobeying and disbelieving in it. And that's what Allah says in Surah Yunus, verse number 57, قَدْ جَاءَتْكُمْ مَوْعِظَةٌ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَشِفَاءٌ لِمَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَهُدَى وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. هدى ورحمة للمؤمنين. اللهم يرزقنا الرحمة يا رب والهدى يا رب العالمين. Also, if you want to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know Him through His book. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah above any example. If you want to know about an author, writer, you go to his, if he wrote books, so in his books, he wrote his own philosophy, his own idea. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. If you want to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to know what Allah wants from you, and who is Allah? قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. You see? So now, we go through to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His book, through His words. Also, this in the Quran, we have the news of those nations before us. What happened to those? So if something that happened wrong and they follow the wrong, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us about it, so we'll not do the same actions and behavior that there are some people that did, like Qawm Lut. Homosexuality is not voting issue. Even the whole Congress and President Obama will sign that decision that to be okay in rights and everything. This is not up to the president, it's not up to the king, it's not up to the Congress or the council or anybody. This Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determined. This is evil. So nobody can make a good deed, regardless. Alcohol is prohibited in Islam. Nobody can change this law to say we live in America now, high-tech society, so that technology can purify and good for the soul and for the heart and whatever. Little bit is good for... This is nonsense reports. Nobody can change that. Doesn't matter how big tarbush or amma or sheikh or knowledge he has. Regardless. Some fixed areas, we cannot, nobody can change that. But other issues, that will be, we are going to deal with some of it through our science of usul al-fiqh, inshallah, how to judge. And we have a few rules and regulations or qawaid to say that will go over it and give you the sense of judging. This is our goal to achieve from our halaqah too, inshallah. To give the sense of judging. And the way that judging issues concern yourself, challenging. We live in this society, we have a lot of challenges. How to judge issues that your children raise to your attention, your boys, your girls. How to judge issues, how to instruct them, give them the tools. As we say, one time there was an ad on TV, if you want to get your children, if you want your children to get the A's, give them the tools. If you want a good Muslim and Muslima, give them the tools. You want them, we are afraid, I'm very concerned about our children, but one day they are going to be on their own. So why not to give them the something that the tools to help them to stand up and to be confident, and they are ready to face the whole world, doesn't matter whether with them or not with them. Give them the sense of self-confidence and also that taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it is the Quran is the way that for success in this life and the hereafter, no doubt about it. Also in the Quran have many examples and parables that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to us to teach us how to learn from it and what to understand from it, and many wisdoms and lessons can we understand an admonishment from that too. Also, it is a legislation, have many rules and regulations in it, and it is the way that to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I have two ways, two types. Number one, ma'rifah, ma'rifat iqrar. And ma'rifah, tujibu al-mahabbata wal-haya'a min Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma'rifat iqrar bi'annu huwa mawjood. He does exist, that many, this is shared with many people. Even they are not Muslim, but they believe that God does exist. And this is for the people. Everybody knows. To know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He does exist. But the other one, that the ma'rifah to lead you to feel shy and bashful from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so not lead you to ma'siyah, to disobedience of His orders, as it was said, لا تنظر إلى صغر المعصية ولكن انظر إلى عظمة من عصيت. Don't look to the sin, or small sin, it's not a minor sin. Don't look at that, through that corner, that angle. But look at عظمة من عصيت. قل إني أخاف إن عصيت ربي عذاب يوم عظيم. I wish that myself, and I'm reminding myself first through this session anyway, first, and then each one of you, inshallah, brothers and sisters. If you put this ayah in front of us, if we put all of us in front of us, قُلْ إِنِّي أَخَابُ. It was revealed upon the Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام. Say, O Muhammad, إِنِّي أَخَابُ, I'm afraid. I have a fear. إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي, if I disobey my Lord. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that to receive عذاب يوم عظيم. What is the عذاب? Think about the عذاب. What is the punishment? If you look and dig behind the deep knowledge about the punishment of Allah that He prepared for in Jahannam for His عباد الكافرين والعاصين. الله أكبر الله أكبر. اللهم نجينا منها يا رب العالمين. See? Then عذاب يوم. What يوم? ذلك اليوم, that the day. What day? If you think about it deeply and go in more details, what yawm? What that yawm? What the Quran and the Sunnah said about that yawm, that day? Allahu Rabbi. Allahumma sallim ya Rabb. Azim. If Al-Azim subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said about it, Azim. How dare we take it lightly? If Al-Azim, which should be nothing great to Him because He's the greatest, but to say Azim, it's mean, oh believer, oh my servants, be aware of it. It is great something there waiting for a human being to say, to face. So to be aware of it, and that really will be admonishment itself to remember. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Also that even the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, لا أحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. It means there's no single word can give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the total respect and the praise and the glorifications and subhanallah. أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. As you praise yourself, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned about the day of judgment, when hadith al-shafa'ah في صحيح البخاري, the long hadith, hadith which is the intercession hadith, how the people will go to the prophets and the messengers to ask them to appeal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to start the hisab on the day of judgment, to start the judgment, waiting, let Allah start the hisab. They will go to different prophets, then they will come to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, then he will say ana laha, ana laha. Then he said he will go and make sujood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the ability to praise Allah and yahmad Allah mahamid la ya'rifuha al-an. He said, I don't know it now, but on that day, at that position, at that moment, Allah will give me the knowledge of how to praise Him with words and letters and things that He didn't give it to me now today. So in order to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to know Him, this will be also subhanallah. But to have this ma'rifah, have two gates. Gate number one, tafakkur wa ta'ammul, tadabbur, to think and to ponder. When you read the Quran, think about it. Now the dispute about Qurra if I read Quran, no understanding, will we get the reward or not? Yes, we'll get the reward, but it's Quran for understanding too. And that's what the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they used to recite 10 ayat, 10 ayat, understand it after reading it, and then practice it, then go to the next 10. Then that it means reading with understanding much better than reading itself only. But not to prevent you not reading because I don't have time to understand. No, read and try to understand too. The second, التفكر في الآيات المشهودة والقدرة الربانية سبحانه وتعالى. Look around yourself, look within yourself, and you don't need to go beyond that. اللهم صل على محمد. Also that one day عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه, he was sitting with الشيخ بدر, it's been the eldest of صحابة الكرام sitting, and Abdullah ibn Abbas was young. So he invited Abdullah ibn Abbas to sit with these people. One of them, he found himself, I mean, why he brought this young among us? And he brought him to challenge them. You know the surah that we recite every day. من بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح. You know this surah. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح. And he said the surah, then he said, what do you think? He asked the eldest and the shuyukh al-sahaba, what do you think about this surah? What does it mean? Oh, telling us about, some of them they said, tell us about, mean whenever you have victory, just praise Allah and ask istighfar, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. فَسَبِّحْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ. That's what does it mean. Is that the same, Ya Abdullah? No. لَكَدْ نَعَى الرَّسُولُ نَفْسَهُ فِي هَذِهِ السُّورَةِ أَوْ نُعِيَ إِلَيْهِ نُعِيَ إِلَيْهِ نَفْسُهُ. It's mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling him that you are coming to an end. Because it was revealed in the Ayyam al-Tashriq, in the Hajj. And which led him, the Prophet ﷺ, to stand up after that revelation of this surah, to stand up and to give the khutbah al-mashura, very well known, famous speech, international speech, to say on that day. It was Hajjatul Wada', it was his speech, and it was the end of his life, subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Allah informed him about it through this surah. Abdullah ibn Abbas understood it, he was young. So when you see sometimes young brother here, young sister, do not belittle the knowledge of young. And because I'm older, I know you better than you. Maybe the young, he got something different than you didn't get it before. Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he said this, and Umar, he said, that's what I know too about it. Then he said, you see now, this young, you refuse, or some of you hesitate to let him sit down with us. Now he taught you something about. But this tells how much the Quran be understood and being, you know, reflected. Now we come to the terms that we have in the pages that we gave you. This is our dars today, inshallah. That's the 4 pages you have. Not the hadith that we have. We'll go to the terms first, because this covers the fiqh and the hadith, sciences. Then we'll be differentiated, inshallah, from next time. The introduction to some terminology in Islamic law. Ahkam. So we're going to learn some vocabularies, inshallah, and definitions. When you say ahkam, first of all, let us remember, when you say halal or haram, or yajuz or la yajuz, please be careful, very careful. You are entering a red zone, a dangerous zone, a minefield zone. It's going maybe to blow up. Because this is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are signing on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be careful. When you say haram, it means you are telling us that Allah said it's haram. When you say halal, it means Allah said it's halal. And be aware of this fact. If you know it clearly, crystal, explicitly mentioned, do not hesitate. But if you are not aware of the details of it, not because I just read one book, and we told you the story of that brother who brought Sahih al-Bukhari, Arabic and English, And we were talking in the masjid on Sunday noon prayer time about Hayd and Istihada and the women's to stay in the masjid, not to stay in the masjid. Then was invited at that night, the same day, at night for dinner to a brother's house. And he was a guest like me. And he said, this Sahih Bukhari, ya Imam? I said, let me just get inside and then we'll talk about it first. He was waiting for me at the door to challenge, you know, in a way who could not tolerate. And he was a guest, and the host of the house, owner of the house, said, "Assalamu alaikum, Imam, please come in." And he was behind. Is this Sahih Bukhari or not, ya Imam? I said, "Yes." "Oh, you are telling us this mean not to a woman stay in the masjid? Well, this mean this woman bleeding, and this Sahih Bukhari. Let us get inside the masjid first." And we went inside, and you can find this hadith in Kitab al-Tahara, the book of purification. And between brackets, it's called Istihada. I-S-T-I, you know, this in English letters, Arabic word, Istihada. I said, "Brother, do you know what the difference between Hayd and Istihada?" He said, "No." I said, "Yes, I don't blame you. This woman issues. But you should not come to this way and before you understand what you are reading." Because he said, "I read the Bukhari, this Bukhari now, you see?" Alhamdulillah, he saw me the same night, the same day. Otherwise, he would tell the people, I don't know what he would say. But you see how that sometimes the misunderstanding or su'ul naql, su'ul fahm, you know, that can lead to many also misjudging. I said, Hayd absolutely have different rules than istihada. Istihada, that the hadith mentioned about the lady was, maybe Zainab to say that, was holding herself and she was standing and there is a vessel and under her and she was bleeding and she was praying in the masjid. So blood is there and she's still praying in the Masjid al-Nabawi. And we talk about, I mean, women to stay or not to stay in the masjid, prefer not to stay in the masjid, preferably. So I said, istihada is not Hayd. Istihada means not the blood of the Hayd, that the menstruation period every month, that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon the female of Hawa, of Adam and Eve. This is not the issue here. But misreading and misquoting can lead to misunderstanding. And I told the example of that, my brother, when he was reading the Salah, and we said, in Surah Al-Furqan, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَعَضُّ. Well, in very common way that we use, يَعُضُّ, عُضُّ, with Dhamma, with Peish, on the top, يَعُضُّ. You see? He said, you know, my own brother in Lebanon. He said, he felt shy to correct in the Salah. Now, when we were going back after Fajr to home, he said, "You said the Abdul, is that the Abdul?" I said, "Alhamdulillah, I have my Quran." And he memorized his Hafiz. But he memorized the Quran by himself, for himself. He never went to the Sheikh to sit down and bother his knees and back to recite in front of Sheikh to correct him and his recitation. I said, "You see, oh, Ya Abdul, not Ya Abdul." So it's not a mistake. Or like somebody will say, "Brother Imam, there is a mistake happening in fourth word." "Oh, brother Imam, there is a mistake in the Quran, mistake in misprinting." "What that?" "Oh, there is Bakka, not Mecca." So he want to correct it. He said, no, don't believe it. It is Bakka, not Mecca. The الذي ببكت أبو بارك. You say Bakka. It is Bakka. "Oh no, it should be Mecca." I said, no. Keep it that way. There's no mistake. It's very common because we don't hear the word Bakka, but we know Mecca. Yes, everybody knows Mecca. You see, that's, or he's saying that Qubla, not Qibla. I said, too much difference between Qubla and Qibla, دخيل الله, يعني, be careful with that. Too much difference. We say Qubla and talk about Hajj and the Mecca and the Kaaba, and it is Qibla with Kasra, not Dhamma. Dhamma has Dham, you know, behind it, but this has no Dham here. It is Har Kisra. So the Ahkam here is very important that to be aware, and the single is called Hukm. So when we talk about in the fiqh now, hukum and ahkam, please be aware of that. These are my rulings, and this is recorded, and says about 500 in all, they are explicit, mentioned and recorded in the Quran, which are, some are particular and some other general commands of God Almighty. Then Ahlul Hadith, literally Hadith people, the name given to early scholars who prefer to avoid excessive reasoning and instead relied heavily upon the literal interpretations of sayings and actions of the Prophet ﷺ. In more recent times in India and Pakistan,
It became a derogatory term used for those who opposed the blind following of any madhab. So you can see how much the term been used and how been used too. So when you talk about in Pakistan, Ahlul Hadith, who are these people, Ahlul Hadith? That's, and I'm not from Pakistan, but the people of Pakistan know better than me in this. Then Ahlul Ra'i. In the Islamic history, Ahlul Hadith, that referred to basically to Ahl Medina. During the time of Imam Malik, when it comes to the fiqh, Imam Malik. Ahlul Ra'i, literally opinion people, because Ra'i means opinion. Ahlul Ra'i, the people of opinion. The name given to early scholars who used extensive reasoning in the interpretation of the sayings and actions of the Prophet ﷺ. And this referred to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah wa radiyallahu anhu. You see? So in Iraq, in Kufa, was Imam Abu Hanifa. In Medina was Imam Malik. At the same time, Imam Abu Hanifa, he died 150 after Hijrah. You can imagine, today is 1430 Hijrah. So, in Iraq was the center of the civilization of the world at that time. So a lot of philosophy, علم الكلام, علم الفلسفة, المجدل, debating and arguments. And that's why Imam Abu Hanifa got involved. He was a businessman, and one day he was walking. You know that sometimes one word can affect your life. Sometimes one person can say something to you, you don't know, in halaqah, in the masjid here, like today, or somebody in the business, you don't know, but to change your life. Abu Hanifa was a businessman. Every day he goes to the business shop and come back. Business shop and come back. One day, a scholar, he said to him, إِلَىٰ أَيْنَ تَخْتَلِفِ. Where do you go? Where do you learn? What school you go? So that I go to the market, I buy and sell, and that's it. Said, you know, I see you that you are a smart man, and you are wasting your time in the business too much. Why not to learn? That kind of word, he said, okay, thank you, jazakallah khair. He can keep going and continue, but click in his mind and start to. And he get involved first with ilm al-falsafa, wal-jadal, wal-kalam. You see? That's called ilm al-kalam, fi ilm al-mantiq, ilm al-falsafa. That's been debating, arguing about people, you know, that Allah does exist, does not exist, Quran makhluk, not makhluk, and all this idea. It was at that time the top and the peak of the discussion and the debates in that society. Well, in Medina, Ahlul Hadith, Ismi Ahlul Medina, Ibn Malik, was simple life, and still a lot of, you know, the Hadith is there, the scholars of Hadith there, and the Tabi'een. So it's really simplicity that make the preservation of the Hadith is still there. So the opinion is not there, it's not needed. Here Abu Hanifa in Iraq, because he was afraid to say something that maybe not Hadith Sahih, nothing, so he make his opinion. And that was his method in the fiqh. His way in fiqh to say, he put the issue on the table in front of the students, and very famous students, Imam Zufar, Imam Muhammad, Imam Yusuf, put the issue on the floor to discuss, and they debate, and they shout, and loud, and this, and evidence, no evidence. Then finally, wrap up the opinions with one issue. That is the verdict, and that's what the fiqh al-akbar. Imam Hanifa didn't have a book. But his students wrote the book Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. If you want to say four schools of thought, what the books of each one of them? What is the book of Imam Ahmad, for example? Anybody? Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, what is his book? Al-Musnad. Musnad Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal. What Imam Al-Shafi'i book? Al-Umm. Al-Umm. The Risala, that Al-Umm, the fiqh is Al-Umm. Then what Imam Malik book? Al-Muwatta. You see, what is Imam Hanifa book? He didn't have his own book. The student, they wrote Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. You see, so that later on in India, for example, Alamgir, that he made Al-Fatawa Al-Kubra, very well known. And we'll come to that, inshallah, we'll come to the details. But millions of people, they follow all these four leaders. Millions of people following Imam Hanifa, Imam Shafi'i, Imam Malik, Imam Hanbal. Millions all over the world.
And it tells how much sincerity these people they were. رحمهم الله ورضي الله عنهم. I have no doubt about it. So أهل الحديث وأهل الرأي, that to be aware of. Then we say عالم. We have عالم and عالم. لا يعقلها إلا العالمون. عالم is mean the world. رب العالمين. عالمين. But عالم is mean this knowledgeable scholar person, qualified Muslim scholar. And then we have أثر. I must write this. أثر. We have أثار, plural أثار. A saying or ruling of the Sahaba, or Prophet companions, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين, and their students. Then we have مصالح مرسلة, which really that bring us to the issue of the فقه الواقع وفقه الأقليات. Very well known now, the Muslim in West, Western world living, they need special fiqh. What we have issues here, we have that may not apply back home. We have a lot of issues here. If you live in a Pakistan or Lebanon or Palestine or whatever, Iraq, 100 years, you never see it here, there, but you see it here. I never saw a Jewish in my life in Lebanon. I saw him here, and I had to deal with him here. And it was good to see. You know, in 1984, I was invited to have a Shalom synagogue in Fort Worth on Hewlett. From the masjid of Fort Worth to the synagogue will take maybe 7 minutes of driving. It took with me half an hour or more, because I never met a Jewish in my life. All the time I see the Skyhawk and the Phantom. There was no F-16 in my time. That it was Skyhawk and Phantom, American jets flying over the heads, going to bomb. I'm from Tripoli, Lebanon, north of Lebanon. We have two camps, Palestinian camp, Nahr al-Barid wal-Badawi. You know? To bomb them and they'll come back and so on. That's what I saw. That group with the news about Israel and the conflict, as you know. All of us, most of us see. To see a Jewish people now here, to shake hands with them, to talk to them, to be with them, that's a something. Struggling within. It took more than half an hour. Then especially when I came to the synagogue, finally. Then I saw the Israeli flag. I was unbelievable, you know. I was out of, I was flying somewhere, you know. I felt like I'm betraying the community, I'm betraying my faith, I'm become munafiq, I'm become kafir. All this struggling within. Then I came to the door. And still calculating anything in my mind, then suddenly I wake up with Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Shaykh. Very fluent Arabic. I said, what? Where am I living? Who are you? You're not Jewish. No, I'm Jewish, but Moroccan. They appointed him to welcome me at the door. Can you imagine that? And started from that day to break the ice and break the... we're living in this society we have to deal with. We have a lot of things to do. Oh yeah, something different. So we learn a lot of things, including fiqh here, fiqh al-waqa, fiqh al-aqaliyat, the minority fiqh. So we have a lot of issues that concern us here, does not concern the Muslim world and the Muslim world. You know? Also that which is really one of the sources of also tashri'a, when you judge issues, sometimes maybe this area, but maybe not fitting because the masalih, the reasoning. You know, Umar al-Khattab, he cancelled the law of cutting the hands. One time, a man, an owner of business, he brought an employee. He said, "Akum alayhi al-had ya Umar. Punish him. Cut his hand. He steal money, my money." He said, "Okay, come here. Young man, why you steal the money?" He said, "Because he's using me to work for him. He's not giving me enough to eat and feed my family." Then Umar, he looked at the man. He said, "If you bring him back again, I'm going to cut your hand, not his hand." You see how? The point. Or when the famine, the maja'ah, spread in the society in Medina, he canceled the cutting the hand. Because when you have maja'ah, hungry people, they have to steal food to eat. So this kind of things, yeah, the law said, but it depends on the masalih. Sometimes we have to be aware of. So when we are as a faqih, or as a scholar, or as a student of knowledge, that you want to judge issues, you have to look at the total aspect of, you know, the issues, not only one thing, because I read one book. And by the way, when you read a book, please be aware of, when you read any book, don't tell me that you are a good reader if you don't know the name of the writer, and the biography of the writer, and what the other details that, in the beginning, introduction of the book,
Please be aware of this. I have a friend, he's a master degree student, and Dr. Sharabasi, I remember him very well, in Kulit Lugal Arabiya. I was in Kulit Sharia, so he said, he was sick at that time, he said, can you sheikh take my thesis, you know, to the doctor in Kulit Lugal Arabiya, Al-Azhar, in Egypt, that to give it to him? I said, yes. Then he said, okay, I'll come with you. I said, let's go. And then he asked him, very simple. You wrote this book that you wrote, this is from this book. So what this book is? What the color? What the page? What the print job? What year this book printed? What edition? Year. I said, wow. He said, I don't know. I said, he threw it like this. He said, go back and learn how to. Then what the brief of the author? Like we say, Ash-Shawkani. Nail al-Awtar Ash-Shawkani. Who's Ash-Shawkani? Al-Imam Ash-Shawkani. Who's Al-Imam Ash-Shawkani? To be aware of his fiqh when you read the book of Nail al-Awtar. His fiqh Shafi'i al-Madhab. So when you judge issues, when you read his book, you have to be aware that he's judged according to Madhab Imam Shafi'i, school of thought. And to be aware of this will help you a lot to understand how far to go. That's what really will bring us to one of the other things. Then we come to the term da'if. The word da'if is mean weak, literally. When applied to hadith, it means that it's less reliable. So this comes to the point, sometimes you hear the khutbah or the hadith or the khatira or short talks or bayan or other things. Please be aware of hadith da'if or not da'if. If it is da'if, don't narrate it. We have a lot of hadith sahiha, authentic and sound. Hasana sahiha. We'll come to learn about these terms later on. That better than to narrate the da'if, because if you keep on narrating only da'if, the religion will be narrated and da'if and will be reported as da'if. Well, we have a lot of things that to do alternative to that. Be aware of that. Also, the store Islamic constitutional law, or when it comes to fatwa, legal ruling or verdict on issue of religious importance. And then we have hadith that's referred to the Prophet said, what he said, what he did, and what he approved. For example, Sunnah al-Maghrib. We have some Sunnah, we say Sunnah mu'akkada and Sunnah ghair mu'akkada. Let's see, for example, Fajr. How many rak'ah Sunnah we have? Let's go over fast. Before the Fard. We have Sunnah, Fard, and Sunnah after. We have the Fard al-Fajr. How many Sunnah rak'ah we have before? Two. Absolutely two. Then we have Fard, how many rak'ah? Two. We know that. How many Sunnah after? None. Absolutely none. Sometimes the brother will stand up and make, what are you praying? I'm praying Sunnah after. There's no Sunnah after, Yaqi. There's nothing to pray until the sun rises. Let's go to Dhuhr. How many rak'ah Sunnah before? Two or four. Sunnah mu'akkada, ghair mu'akkada? Before? Mu'akkada. See how? How many rak'ah after the fard? Two. Mu'akkada, ghair mu'akkada? Mu'akkada. Then come to Asr. How many rak'ah before? Two or four. Mu'akkada, ghair mu'akkada? None mu'akkada, ghair mu'akkada. How many rak'ah Sunnah after? None, absolutely none. There's no two, no four. There's nothing. Nothing at all. Mu'akkada, ghair mu'akkada? There's nothing mu'akkada, ghair mu'akkada. Is it right? Then we come to the Maghrib. How many rak'ah before Sunnah? Before the Fard. How many rak'ah Sunnah? Now we have. That's why I want to bring you all the way to this point now. After Adhan, the Sunnah, general Sunnah, that between the Adhan and the Fard, but after Adhan, there is two rak'ah Sunnah, generally. Now to be mu'akkada, when we say mu'akkada means the Prophet alayhi salam, he kept going, doing it all the time. Mu'akkada, ghair mu'akkada, means sometimes did it, sometimes not. For the Maghrib now, Sunnah, one time he entered the masjid alayhi salatu wasalam, and he saw the Sahaba praying Sunnah. And he kept quiet. So the Sunnah, what he said, what he did, didn't say, but he did it, and what he approved. He saw the Sahaba doing something and he kept quiet. فَمَا لَا يَتِمُّ الْوَاجِبُ لَبِهِ فَهُ وَاجِبُ بِمَعْنَا الْبَيَانِ وَجَبَ الْبَيَانِ. He had to explain. If it's wrong, he had to explain it. Well, it was not wrong because he didn't say anything about it. He kept quiet, I mean, he approved it. His approval now, his silence is sunnah to us. Does not perform continuous.
No, what I mean is continuous or non-continuous.
Yes.
What I mean is, if he is seeing somebody else performing,
yes,
and not saying something, does it make it sunnah?
Yes. His silence is sunnah, that's what I'm saying. The sunnah is what he said, what he did, and what he approved. And the approval, we want to understand what approved means. Approved means he saw the Sahaba doing something. Like when he said, أَنَا لَا يُصَلِّيَنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ الْعَصْرَ إِلَّا فِي بَنِي قُرَيْضَةَ. The بَنِي قُرَيْضَةَ issue. On the way, some of the Sahaba, they make their own ijtihad. When it comes to the issue of ijtihad, their own, you know, understanding to say, oh, the Prophet's statement عليه الصلاة والسلام did not mean that to delay the salah, but to hasten, to rush to go to Bani Quraiza. But when the time the prayer comes, we have to pray on time. Allahu Akbar. And many prayed. The other, they said no. He said no Asr until you come to Bani Quraiza area. Like nobody pray Asr until you go to Richardson. Now in downtown Dallas, the time entered. So to pray in downtown Dallas or to wait until you come to Richardson or Plain or whatever the area. That's the understanding. And the Prophet ﷺ approved both of them. Approved means he kept quiet, did not deny what the first group did by performing the salah on time, and what the other delayed and did by delaying the salah until Bani Quraiza. They arrived to Bani Quraiza. Both of them, right. And the Sahaba, they made their ijtihad during the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ approved that. Just an example. We'll come to that in a moment. Then we come fiqh issue. Oh, the halal and the haram. Sorry, beyond. Oh, this is the most important. What is halal? And what is haram? It's absolutely beyond what I wrote down here. The halal and the haram. If you do not understand the word halal and haram, really we cannot say halal and haram at all. The halal, the lawgiver. Who is the one who legislates for us? Allah. Man al-muhallil? Allah. Man al-muharrim? Allah. The lawgiver, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala legislate something that to happen or to be allowed or to be permitted, so the things that was permitted or was permissible by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and nobody can change that, or prohibited, and nobody can change that at all. After the death of the Prophet alayhi salam, nobody can change anything or alter anything or take out or put in. Nobody has the right or authority to put in or to take out from the religion of Islam, or to change the law of prohibitions and the permissibility. But to be aware of fiqh. Fiqh literally means understanding. قال يا شعيب ما نفقه كثير مما تقول. We do not understand most of what you're talking about. It's nonsense to us. ما نفقه فقه. We do not understand. But in the sense here, we talk about that to understand the Quran and the Sunnah as a law, and it's called fiqh, and it's called Islamic jurisprudence. Then we come ijtihad. Already we passed over that. Then ijma'. When we talk about ijma', ya akhwana, we're not talking about ijma' of today's scholars. We're talking about ijma' of Sahaba, al kiram, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. This is the first generation. When they can bring the consensus of Allah. For example, when we talk about last time about two adhan, some masajid they do two adhan on Jumu'ah. Some masajid they do one adhan. Can you tell me why? Anybody can say anything? Just say whatever you think about. Why some masajid they make two adhan? I'm sure that you ask yourself, why this masjid I go, I pray Jumu'ah, you say make adhan before, and then adhan when the imam sit down and say salam alaikum, then another adhan and you start the khutbah. Why two adhan? Another masjid only when the imam climb the minbar and say salam alaikum, then sit down and say adhan. Why two adhan and one adhan? Where did this came from? Anybody? Uthman radiallahu anhu. So during the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, Bilal used to make the adhan when the Prophet sit down on the minbar or the time khutbah start. Was as one adhan. Time of Umar, the same. Abu Bakr before, the same. When the time of Uthman came,
He sent somebody on a place that's called Az-Zawra. Alif Lam Zay. Ra Zay. Az-Zawra. Al-Hamza. The Hamza. Okay? Az-Zawra. Like a higher place than the market in front, under that to say, and they call the Adhan. So to let them know that the time of Salah is coming, be aware of that, be ready for the Jumu'ah, be ready for the Salah, and so on. Uthman ibn Affan, Dhul Nurayn, radiallahu anhu, and many Sahaba, they were there. And none of the Sahaba denied what Uthman did. And the Prophet said, Alaykum bi sunnati wa sunnati al-khulafa' al-rashidin al-mahdiyina min ba'di. So become sunnah. So please don't jump over the Imam or the Muaddin or whoever in charge of that masjid when there are two adhan to say, this is bid'ah. This is not bid'ah. This was practiced by better than me and you. Permitted by those who are better than us, all of us, the Sahaba. Because if it is wrong, no way the Sahaba to keep quiet on that. They knew their religion, they understood it right, and they knew their role to play in the society, not to be majority silent people, as we see today in the Muslim community. When there is something wrong going on, everybody keep quiet. It's not my business, I don't want to bother with that. No, it's your time to stand up, to correct. But fiqh wa adab al-ikhtilaf, this have to be understood too. You see how? When that woman corrected Umar ibn Khattab, when he was trying to limit the mahr, she said, how dare, and who gave you the authority to limit what Allah unlimited? وَآتَيْتُمْ أَحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. Allah said, there is no limit to give mahr. If someone will give dowry or mahr, $1 million. Why you have to limit? And then Umar, in front of him, it was a Friday, it was in public. There was no glass, there were no doors. She said, Ya Umar, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen. And she said, raise her voice. He didn't say, woman, get out. Woman, your voice is awra. Keep quiet. Take her out. Soldiers. No, never. He said, Umar made a mistake, and woman was right. In front of all these people. That's the greatness of Islam. That woman understood her role in the community, and nobody shunned her out. Nobody took her out. And the Khalifa also, he understood his role, that to receive the nasiha and the advice, not to be arrogant because he's the chairman or the board or whatever he is. This is another thing. See how? When Umar said, Sam'a wa ta'a, Salman al-Farisi said, La sam'a wa ta'a, until we know where he got this cloth on you. Then he said, where is my son Abdullah? And Abdullah said, I am here. I gave my father my own. That's what you have too. His and mine. Salman immediately said, Al-an, sami'na wa ata'na. In front of everybody. They knew, they understood their role in this community. And they were alive in their hearts, in their spirit, in their Quran, and in their role in everything, every aspect. And that's what Allah SWT gave them the victory against their enemies, even the little in number and preparation. Ijtihad, we talk about that, ijma' already. Imam, actually the real imam means the khalifa. Not the imam only who pray. Like we are in Muslim countries, no, Muslim Islamic centers in general, we are adopting the secular system basically. Oh, the imam only religious issues, and the others, I mean, he does not understand anything, so the board will take care of it. This is not right. But this is how the way going on anyway. You see? That's the secular system, separation between church and state, to say the imam is only salah or nothing. You know, nothing doesn't do, he doesn't know how to run the masjid. You know, in San Antonio? 3 weeks ago I was in San Antonio. They had the problems. And finally they found the only solution, that to give everything to the imam. Imam, this is the issues. We are the board now. We have a challenge by the other group in the community. We are going to resign and you take care of everything. And he ran the show a little bit, and he changed the constitution and changed the people, and they said, take it back, this year now. So Yahwana, you have to change the idea. Who is the imam? I know that back when we talked about last time, that in Egypt there's a sheikh, a sharib, because they like to drink chai, drink tea. Sheikh sharib. There's a tea bag written on it in the company, sheikh chai sharib. Chai sheikh sharib. The sheikh who drink a lot of teas. You know, I was there in Lebanon on Friday, especially very well known, you know, food, Sheikh Al Mahshi. That kusa, batinjan Al Mahshi, you know. The zucchini, you know, that they empty from inside, I put the rice and meat, Sheikh Al Mahshi. You know, 4 or 5 days. But you see the terms? That destroying the images. Who is the Sheikh? Who is the Imam? The one who is the most failing person in the society, the one who has no grade, the one found him in the, stay in the masjid 24 hours, make him Imam, that's it. No, not anymore. Maybe used to be. I remember that our Islamia teacher used to come to the class, say, I will tell you a story of Yusuf alayhi salam. All of us sleeping. Story of Yusuf never end. You know, story of Yusuf alayhi salam never end. We are sleeping. That's what the Islamiyat will learn how to. Destroying the images intentionally by those in authority, not to encourage the people now. Ask the children, do you want to be Imam? No, I don't want to be Imam. I want to be a doctor, engineer, this, lawyer. Why not to be Imam? Because bad image about Imam. You see how? So the Imam really originally that to be the Khalifa. And that's in the Hadith. صَرَعَةٌ يَظُنَّهُمْ اللَّهُ فِي ظِلِّ يَوْمَ لَا ظِلَّ إِلَّا ظِلُّهُ إِمَامٌ عَادِلٌ. What Imam is mean? Khalifa. But also that Imam who lead the prayer and the religious, you know, concept that we say, who lead the community, that's called Imam too. Also that istishab, that here we'll come to the term, refer that in case of dispute brought to court, the status quo that would be upheld until evidence produced to the court to change it, or appeared to the contrary. If one party claimed with the second party until the first provided sufficient evidence to support the claim. That will be collected with the other evidences that to bring, then to the judge will take from this and from that, and then to some senses that he have to use to lead him to judge. When it comes to the fiqh issues, that to lead to the...
Can we ask questions?
Yes, please.
Can you give an example of this one?
For example, that... to bring with, like you live in America here, for example, that talk about credit cards. Is it okay to use the credit card or not? Okay. We have Masalih Mursala with it, and we have also the to bring evidences with it too, in a way that until you bring all the connections about the subject or the issue to judge, then you can judge. Before that, you cannot judge the issue. To say just immediately based on one angle, you have to bring all the angles of the issue to say. For example, that we have another issue that currently we have the child who was the family was hit in the accident in Fort Worth. Then the news media, you know, 2.5 years. For example, that. To lift life support or not, machines. We cannot just say, oh, because the doctor he said, or the group of doctors they said, you know, his 70% of his brain has been damaged. Then to say, okay, lift the machines. We have to look at the other aspects. So that istishab, that to bring other connections, to say, for example, that he's breathing, okay. Or not. That different type of test being done or not. Medically. Not done. Then he's responding when you put your hand, he's unconscious, but when you put your hand, your finger in his hand, he will squeeze it. So there is some reflections. Also the brain after the accident, few days later on, which came to the time of our meeting with the doctors, that the brain, the swallow of the brain is going down, so now it's going to function a little bit better. So even the doctor will say it's getting better than before. So based on the council, fiqh council verdict that was held in Mecca al-Mukarrama, Mujamma al-Fiqhi, الذي انعقد في مكة المكرمة in 1986, he made the fatwa about this issue. If the aql, if the dimagh, the brain, is dead, damage does not mean dead. As the doctor said, not me, I'm not doctor here. Damage does not mean is affected, but not dead.
So unless it is dead 100%, then you can take off the machine. So you have to bring all the issues, and that we said until now we cannot say take the machines off. It's not allowed. It will be considered crime committed, for example. So you have to bring and تستصحب الأدلة وتأتي بها من كل جوانبها من all the corners, all angles. Then you can to but to keep the status as is, that to until you find different evidences that to prove the different or opposite to that. Then we can استنباط. We have many ayat in the Quran, general. How to discover rules from this ayat? There is no ayat in the Quran says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, innama al-hashish wal-heroin wal-cocaine haramun alaykum. Didn't say that. You see? So how we dig behind the rules to say it is haram? How is that this haram? From istinbat al-adilla, from the origin. And that bring it to the one of the sources of Sharia. All the time, whenever you have any issue, you look at the Quran, what Allah said, then what the Prophet said, when the Sahaba said, or the Ijma' of the Sahaba, then one qiyas, the comparison. So the comparison that in our religion we have innamal khamru. So what is the illah, the reason of prohibitions of khamr, al iskar, the intoxications? So anything lead to intoxications or sakar or iskar, al-khamr ma-khamr al-aqal, that's what khimar for the woman, khimar, that cover, this means there's no brain anymore, mukhma fi khalas, it's flying high, okay? So when flying high, anything leading to that, that will take the same rule of the khamr. That's istinbat, that, you see how that discover the rules? From that. So discovering the rule and deduction, that is the extraction of precise meanings from Islamic text. Yes, please.
Like this, does the strength of prohibition same as the, like for khamr, the prohibition is clear in the Quran?
Yes.
For the, let's say for the hashish, is the prohibition as strong?
Absolutely. So the when derived from with the evidences.
Okay, so
yes, absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Some areas have disputable, some dispute, you know, between the, depending on what the issue we're talking about. A lot of issues on the table, you can say. If that, this one I want to bring you before, you know, I want to understand, make you clear with this. Please be aware of the fact, the circle of haram and the circle of halal. The problem of the Muslim communities, that we are making the circle of haram bigger than the circle of halal. Well, it is the opposite. Allah made more halal than the haram rules. But our problems, that everything is haram, haram, haram. So the haram is increased. Well, it's not haram. What is the halal? There is no barely to hear the halal. Even, I told you, I don't know if I told you this or not. One Friday, a brother, he brought that amount of papers, you know, flyers, to distribute. Can I distribute this to Sheikh after Jummah? I said, what is halal car wash? What halal car wash, akhi? Halal car wash? This was, I said, give me, and I trash it immediately. I use, استهزأ بكتاب الله ويلعب بكتاب الله up to this level. What halal car wash? It's crazy. I want to make business halal car wash, halal, because become crazy people, halal, halal, haram, haram. Inshallah. You see at the point? So please, when you come, the circle of halal is very limited and small. The circle of halal is bigger and wider. This is in details we can talk about. Yes, that's really as long as touching is not touching. Then we come to you go to YouTube. There is a brother from Sheikh from Syria. Allahumma salli Muhammad. He was talking about the percentage and the evaporations of the alcohol and this. In details, very, very unique.
I don't know if you go to that and talk about khamar and click on make khamar on the Google maybe to say or YouTube, you get the picture and you get the lecture. You hear that? But need a lot of details. We cannot just word by yes or no like this, inshallah. Wallahu a'lam. Tayyib khair. Now, that's hadith. ما أسكر كثيره فقليل حرام. Some people they get confused with that. What do you mean? It means some of them say, I don't get drunk from the can of beer. Okay, one can cannot get drunk. What about the two? No, that's still I'm strong and I'm aware of what's going on around me. What about three? Not really. We'll start now. Okay, I said, you know, if you have music and you have a girl next to you and you have a beer, absolutely out of touch. You see? But we said, no, out of the fourth one. Oh, no, no, no. Absolutely, I will start to lose. I said, that's what the Prophet said. Exactly. مَا أَسْكَرَ كَثِيرُ فَقَلِيلُ حَرَامٌ. Drop of it will be haram. And that's what you find in the book of Tahara, that if sometimes you are you walk in the street around the neighbors, and you're walking maybe say, and then you see a can of beer and you think that's empty, then you kick it. Then splash on your clothes. You cannot pray with this, because najasa. Najasa ayniya. You cannot pray with this clothes, you have to change the clothes. So that's askara kathiruhu fakal haram, that's true. A drop of it will be then haram. And I'm raising my red flag about some cans in the market. It's been only just barley, made out of barley, and the alcohol is not there. And please be aware of this kind of products, not to be deceived, especially our young brothers and young sisters. A lot of details of this issue, we don't have time, we'll have to grab up. We'll talk about. We'll come to the fiqh issue, by the way, that we have issues to deal with, inshallah. After we give you the rules and regulations, we'll be aware of that, inshallah. Ittiba'. Ittiba', al-asl ittiba' wa laysa al-ibtida'. Al-asl al-ittiba' wa laysa al-ibtida'. It's meant to follow, not to create or innovate in the religion of Islam. And that's what brings us to a lot of. Each one of us have a lot of things in our packages that brought with us from our country. We have packages. It's called cultural things. Like one time we have to do to the dabke. You know, an Arab, you know, Palestinian, Lebanese, Suri, dabke. Dancing and Arduni, and, you know, to dabke. Dabke for women cannot be done in public. You know, like dancing and hold on, three, four girls and dancing, or women and girls together, and men and women. This is culture. We have cultural things. We have religious things that to practice, and that's what comes to the ibadah. To be aware of the ibadah issue, this is considered bid'ah, innovation. I cannot worship Allah the way I want. Why we pray two rak'ah on the fajr and four rak'ah on the isha? Logically, we just wake up in the fajr, it's been fresh, getting rest enough. I can pray 10 rak'ah, I'm ready. At the end of the day, I'm exhausted, I'm working the whole day, and really, I'm tired. Should be, you know, the opposite. Two rak'ah at the end of the day, four rak'ah at the beginning. If we're talking about logic here. But al-asl al-tawqif. Al-tawqif means al-ittiba'. Al-tawqif yani mawqufan ala Rasulullah. That's what he did it. This is the way how he did it. And we do it. And he died on that way. Jibreel taken to him alayhi salam to lead him in each prayer. In the early time, at the end of the time. In the beginning of the time, which prayer? He led the Prophet become the Imam with Prophet Muhammad. And this is your salah and your ummah. And he took it from Jibreel alayhi salam. Then we took it from the Sahaba, took it from the Prophet alayhi salam. Then the Tabi'een and so on. And until today, this is how the way it's going to be. We pray two rak'ah this way. Why pray rak'ah and then sujood, ruku'ah and sujood and raise? Why not to say, Allahumma, Allahumma, assalamu alaykum, jazakallah khair. May Allah answer the dua. Ameen. Like the Christian, they do, oh Lord, amen. That's it. No, we do it because the Prophet did it. This is the way how. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. You pray as you see me praying. Khudu anni manasikakum fil hajj. See? Fil hajj. Khudu anni manasikakum. Take the ritual how to perform hajj according to my way. Look at me and how I perform hajj. You cannot perform hajj your own way. You cannot do the hajj your own way. And so on in the ibadat in general. So when the come a matter of ibadah, read the Quran is ibadah, dhikr is ibadah, salat is ibadah, siyam is ibadah, and so on.
In ibadah, we cannot make our own things. Otherwise, considered bid'ah. But this is microphone is bid'ah, literally. Innovated. Electricity is bid'ah. But bid'ah is not bid'ah to be haram bid'ah. We have to differentiate between. Because one time, a brother get upset with me when I talk about bid'ah. And say, okay, brother Imam, so let's go and ride the cameras again. Not to drive the cars anymore. Because the Prophet never drove the car, so we drive the camels and horses. Let's do that. Cowboy style. I said, brother, you are mixing the issues. We're talking about bid'ah. We're not talking about bid'ah. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the knowledge of, you know, the taskhir, qanun al-taskhir, that gave us the brain to think, to discover the human being, to create these things. So the microphone to be used. This the bid'ah literally has been innovated. Was not before. Was not before. Was established. But this nothing. This is not ibadah. But the prayer is ibadah. So I cannot pray my own way. Fasting is ibadah. I can't fast my own way. Like the Christian, they fast half day, half night. We cannot do that. So al-asl al-ittiba' alayhi al-ibtida'. And this will come to also. The first, the last one for today, inshallah, al-jama'. That in the hadith connection combining the meaning of two apparently contradicting hadith in such sometimes hadith da'if, but by being narrated by the way, when sometimes you hear the hadith, we have this mean 70 hadith. Does not mean, ya akhwana, be aware of this fact, does not mean that 70 texts or nas of hadith different from each other. It means this is the hadith, this is the text. It means came from this an al Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sanad, the line is there. Then another line, an another. These two hadith now the same text, but consider in the size of hadith, usul fiqh, usul hadith, mustalah hadith. It means two hadith, but not two texts. It means the sanad. بعتبار السند, it is two hadith. Another narration, the same text. For example, that on very common, ayu al-amali afdal ya Rasulullah. Very common question be raised to the Prophet alayhi sallam. Which the deeds are the best? See, and many other things. So when you consider that, when you talk about different hadith, sometimes the same text, like to say, Abu Samir he memorized 70 hadith. It means 70 sanad sometime maybe, or 37. It depends how. You see how? So it does not mean that it means different texts. It may sometimes mean different sanad, refer to the same text of the hadith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase our knowledge and give us the best. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اللهم رزقنا علما نافعا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا يا رب العالمين. وأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت. أستغفرك. وأتوب إليك. وجزاكم الله خيرا for your patience and forgive me for the elongation of the doing. Inshallah, you can continue. When I'm going to go back to this paper here, I mean to read again, but you read it by yourself, but bring it with you, inshallah. So when you go and over the mention the some terms here, you can refer to what does it mean, so you can understand what we're talking about instead of repeating ourselves. Wassalamu alaikum.